Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Wednesday, November 3rd. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Pool Corrales Elected to At-Large City Council Seats, by Stuart Doreen. There will be two new at-large members of the Midland City Council in 2022. Robin Poole dominated all candidates, earning the most votes, 4,465, in the five-person race. Finishing second was Dan Corrales, who distanced himself from incumbents Spencer Robnett and Michael Trost with 3,041 votes. Robnett and Trost finished third and fourth, respectively, with 2,510 and 2,120 votes. Dustin Johnson finished fifth with 466 votes. The two candidates with the most votes in an at-large race earned council seats for three-year terms. It was a matter of two candidates that lost district races in 2019 showing resilience and reintroducing themselves to the voters. It appears those losses helped them build name recognition and run better versions of their political selves against two council veterans, Robnett and Trost. Poole finished a close second in District 3, Central Midland, while Corrales finished third in District 4, West Midland. There wasn't much drama in this election. Poole was out early, leading all comers by more than 700 votes after early voting. Poole easily collected the most votes of the higher-than-expected Election Day turnout. "It is very overwhelming," Poole said of the victory. "You set out to win, and that is what you hope for, but I was not expecting this. It was humbling." Poole believed the voters saw that she is genuine and someone who is willing to listen and take time to hear their concerns. Corrales had the advantage over Robnett for second after early voting and widened that lead as Election Day votes were counted. Corrales said he believed that the voters expect candidates to work hard and show a commitment on the campaign trail. "I don't see it as a win for me. I see it as a win for the people of Midland," Corrales said. "We, the people, still matter," and their voice was heard this evening. Soon, Corrales will sit on a council where his grandmother once served, and because of that, he knows that the work to be a representative starts now. "This is not the finish line," he said. "This race takes more experience off the Midland City Council." Robnett had been on the council since 2014, and Trost had served 9 years, six as the representative of District 4, and three as at-large. When the council meets in 2022, District 1 Councilman Scott Dufford will have more experience than the rest of the sitting council combined, 20 years to 9 years. This article is entitled, Residents Reject Tax Assistance District. Vote totals, 4, 658, against 1,399. Midland County voters opposed the creation of a tax assistance district that would have raised sales tax from 7% to 8.25% in the county. The item did not appear for voters inside the city of Midland. County leaders have said it would have raised as much as $80 million a year to help fund priorities like construction, maintenance, or improvement of roads and highways, provision of law enforcement and detention services, maintenance or improvement of libraries, museums, parks, and other recreational facilities. Services that benefit the public health or welfare, including firefighting and fire prevention services. Some members of the Commissioner's Court also stated that passage of the County Assistance District would have helped keep Midland County's tax rate, not necessarily its tax bill, among the lowest in the state. The creation of a tax assistance district has been approved in other Texas counties, including in Ector County in 2018. This article is entitled "Voters Pick Dufford for District 1 Council Spot" by Stuart Doreen. Scott Dufford's run as the longest-serving councilman in Midland will continue for another 3 years. Dufford defeated Ross Schumann, 1,348 to 1,117, in the District 1 City Council race Tuesday night, guaranteeing that Dufford will have the opportunity to extend his time on the council to 23 years. Dufford first won election on the council as the representative of District 4, West Midland, in 2001. He then became an at-large citywide representative, winning a special election in November 2007. Dufford won a first term as the representative in North Midland in 2018. Dufford will provide 2+ decades of experience to a relatively inexperienced council. He also is expected to continue to push for city initiatives like better parks. Dufford gave kudos to his opponent for a hard-fought campaign and doing a great job, especially as a new resident to Midland. Schumann sought economic diversity of an economy that was volatile and easily impacted by politics. He also wanted tax and regulation reduction, including lowering the tax burden on new businesses. He got his message out, Dufford said. Kudos go out to him. Still, Dufford thinks that the residents of District 1 wanted the experience he brought and were comfortable with Dufford, who said building a better Midland for his grandchildren was a reason he sought re-election. At the end of the day, I have 9 grandchildren that live here and reside here, Dufford said. I want to move Midland forward, improve, and get better. I want my grandchildren to want to come back to Midland, a place where there is plenty of opportunity. This article is entitled "Greenwood Voters Deny ISD's Bond." Vote totals: 4,623, against 928. Voters opposed a bond that would have helped Greenwood ISD deal with an expected student attendance increase of 74.44% in less than a decade. Demographers expect an increase of 1,500 more students inside the district by 2029. Greenwood ISD had stated the $140 million bond included a new intermediate school for 3rd through 5th graders, $62.6 million, increased capacity, modernized laboratories, and new gym for the high school, $45.4 million. Increased capacity and renovate elementary school for pre-K through 2nd grade, $16.8 million. Increased capacity for administration, $5.4 million. Convert existing bus barn to career and technology labs, $3.2 million. New bus transportation and maintenance facilities, $5.2 million. Middle school improvements and alterations, $1.4 million. This is the news page. This article is entitled "Wilson's Charge Now Upgraded to Murder" by Caitlin Randall. David Charles Wilson, who was arrested and charged with manslaughter following the shooting death of Midland police officer Nathan Hayden Heidelberg in 2019, is now on trial for murder. According to court documents, Wilson was re-indicted by a Midland County grand jury October 28th and charged with murder. He has been indicted for manslaughter in May 2019. The new indictment states the grand jury found that Wilson intentionally and knowingly caused Heidelberg's death by shooting him with a firearm. Wilson was able to be re-indicted because the state presented a new legal theory, according to District Attorney Timothy Flathers. The defense had the option to request more time, but chose to move forward with a jury trial, he said. Jury selection began Tuesday and will continue today. The trial will take place in the 10th floor auxiliary courtroom under now retired Judge George Jody Gillis. He will hear the case because it was assigned to him in 2019. Heidelberg was shot and killed by Wilson while responding to a burglar alarm call at Wilson's home March 5, 2019, according to police. A spokesman for the city said in a statement that Heidelberg and three other responding officers loudly announced their presence before Heidelberg was shot and killed. Wilson, CEO of Unitex Oil and Gas, was arrested and released on $75,000 bond that day. His attorney later said in a statement that Wilson mistook Heidelberg for an intruder and believed he was protecting his family. An arrest affidavit for Wilson stated that after being dispatched to his residence at about 1:16 a.m., officers walked the perimeter and noticed the front door was unsecure. Heidelberg was investigating the unsecure door when a single shot was fired in his direction, according to the affidavit. A brief filed in the 142nd District Court by the defense in September 2019 disputed the police's account that officers had announced themselves before Heidelberg was killed. The brief stated that Wilson's alarm company mistakenly alerted the police and they were not aware that the police were at their home. Wilson is now facing 5 to 99 years or life in prison if convicted on the murder charge. This article is entitled "General Tommy Franks Endorses Smoot for County Judge" by Stuart Doreen. General Tommy Franks, a former Midlander, weighed in on the county judge's race in Midland County, endorsing Jonas Smoot, who is running for the Republican nomination to become the county's chief executive. "Jonna not only understands servant leadership, she lives it," Frank stated in a press release. "I am pleased to be counted as one of the many supporters for her candidacy. Midland County deserves a leader with integrity like Jonna, who acts daily to better our nation and Midland County. I encourage the residents of Midland County to join me in supporting Jonna Smoot for Midland County Judge." Franks grew up in Midland, where he graduated from Lee High School. In June 2000, he was promoted to four-star general and assigned as Commander-in-Chief, United States Central Command. It's in this position that he led American and coalition troops in two strategically unprecedented campaigns in 2 years: Operation Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan and Operation Iraqi Freedom in Iraq. General Franks retired on July 7, 2003. Franks threw out the first pitch when the baseball park was opened at the Scarborough Sports Complex. Midland ISD also named an elementary school in East Midland after Franks in 2017. Smoot and Terry Johnson have both announced their intention to run for the Republican nomination. "Having grown up being taught that service to country and community are the hallmarks of a true leader, I am humbled and honored to receive this endorsement from one of our nation's truly great leaders, General Tommy Franks," Smoot wrote. "General Franks is a man of honor who has dedicated himself to a lifetime of service, including serving our nation during some of its darkest days after the September 11 attacks." This article is entitled "Crime Brief: Death Row Inmate Young Returns to Midland County." Death Row inmate Clinton Lee Young has been transported back to Midland County to await his new trial, according to Midland County jail records. The Texas Court of Criminal Appeals on September 22nd tossed a capital murder conviction and granted a new trial for Young, the death row inmate who was convicted by a Midland County jury in 2003, according to a previous Reporter-Telegram article. Young was sentenced to death for killing Doyle Douglas, 41, and Samuel Petrie, 52, for the use of their vehicles during a 48-hour crime spree. Petrie was kidnapped in his hometown of Eastland and killed in an oil field near Midland. The appeals court overturned Young's conviction because of a revelation that then Assistant District Attorney Ralph Petty, who helped prosecute Young, was also moonlighting as a judicial clerk for the same trial. This article is from the Midland Reporter-Telegram. This article is entitled, Abbott, O'Rourke in Virtual Tie in Race for Governor, Poll Says, by Robert T. Garrett, Dallas Morning News. Austin. Two-term Republican Governor Greg Abbott and likely Democratic challenger Beto O'Rourke are in a virtual dead heat a year ahead of the next Texas gubernatorial election, according to a new poll released Monday by the Texas Hispanic Policy Foundation. Among Texas voters who went to the polls in 2020, Abbott leads O'Rourke 44-43%, with the rest of respondents unsure or supporting third-party candidates. Among all registered voters, the results are almost the same. Abbott 43%, O'Rourke 42%, undecided 12%, and minor party candidates 3%. The race is virtually unchanged if actor Matthew McConaughey, who has teased that he might run, appears on the ballot as an independent, the poll found. Among all registered voters, McConaughey draws only 9% to Abbott's 40% and O'Rourke's 37%, with the rest unsure or backing minor party candidates. Contributing to O'Rourke's strength in the poll was his 49-31% lead among Hispanics, anchored in a 27% point lead among Catholic Hispanics. In the March 1st GOP primary for governor, Abbott enjoys a commanding 51 percentage point lead among the most likely Republican voters. Former state Republican Chairman Alan West is a distant second, trailing Abbott 64-13%. Former state Senator Don Huffins has the support of 5%. Conservative commentator and comedian Chad Prather, 3%. Another 15% were unsure how they would vote. For the Foundation's latest survey, 1,402 respondents were interviewed online October 14th to 27th. The margin of error was plus or minus 2.6 percentage points. Governor Abbott has shored up his right flank and stands firmly on solid ground with Republican primary voters, said Jason Villalba, chairman and chief executive of the Foundation, a nonpartisan think tank dedicated to studying the politics and patterns of Texas Hispanic voters. But based on our data, it appears that he has achieved this objective by cutting deeply into his support with Texans who vote in the general election, said Villalba, a former center-right GOP state representative from Dallas. Much can happen over the course of the year, but these numbers show that not only can we expect a competitive general election, but that Abbott's shift to the hard right may have imperiled his governorship. Among the poll's other findings, Attorney General Ken Paxton has a huge lead among the most likely voters in the all-important Republican primary as he seeks a third term. Paxton has a support of 54%. Texas Land Commissioner George P. Bush, 18%. Former Texas Supreme Court Justice Ava Guzman, 5%. And Fort Worth State Representative Matt Krause, 1%. 22% were unsure. Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller, also seeking a third term, has a strong lead among the most likely GOP primary voters over Southeast Texas State Representative James White, 34-3%. A whopping 61%, though, are unsure or don't know for whom they'll vote. Neither Houston businessman Mike Collier nor former ABC News political analyst Matthew Dowd of Wimberley commands a strong lead among the most likely voters in the Democratic primary race for lieutenant governor. Collier polls 25% to Dowd 17%, with 58% unsure or don't know. This is the obituary column, Wednesday, November 3rd. Billy King. On Friday, October 29th, our Lord called Billy G. King, home to be with him. The family will receive friends from 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, November 2nd at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Funeral services will be held at 3 p.m. Wednesday at Nally Pickle and Welch Rosewood Chapel. Interment will follow at Cahoma Cemetery. Billy was born on May 26, 1950 in Lorain, Texas, the middle child to William H. King and Lucille Moore King, and grew up in West Texas. Billy is survived by his wife Ginger King and 5 children, Amy King Lowe and husband Rob, Vanessa King Behrens and husband Rich, Paige King Hip and husband Travis, Isaac King and wife Carrie, and Zach King, as well as 13 grandchildren, and his sisters Rose Thomas and Judy Thomas, and husband Darren. He was preceded in death by his father, William, and mother, Lucille King, and granddaughter, Isabel King. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Helen Oneta Rowe Potter. Helen Oneta Rowe Potter, 68, of Midland, passed away on October 28th in a local hospital. Funeral service will be held Thursday, November 4th at Nally Pickle and Welch Chapel at 3800 North Big Spring Street, Midland, with Gabriel Dye of Alamo Heights Baptist Church. Lunch will be served at Alamo Heights Baptist Church at 1305 North Midland Drive. Helen was born June 26, 1953, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to Garland and Arena Cox Rowe. She married Cecil Raymond Potter on January 4, 1970. She had a second marriage to Alan Lee. She had a third marriage to Henry Pastor. She is survived by a daughter, Tammy Potter Doss of Midland, a son, Saban Potter of Greenwood, 3 brothers, Gary Rowe and David Rowe of Midland, and Rick Milliken of Oregon, a son-in-law, Bobby Doss of Midland, daughter-in-law, Monica Potter, sister-in-law, Rhonda Rowe, sister-in-law, Patty Dyer Rowe Brownlee of Midland, many nieces, nephews, grandkids, great-grandkids, and cousins. She was preceded in death by her first husband, Cecil Raymond Potter, her third husband, Henry Pastor, her parents, Garland and Arena Rowe, her brother, Jerry Lee Rowe. Leslie Fay Clossel. Leslie Fay Brewer Clossel, 92, of Midland, passed away at her home October 28th. She was born in Carmine, Texas, a daughter of 4 girls to Lester and Ruby Brewer of Schulenburg, Texas. She is survived by her daughter Sandra Sosley of St. Lucia and son David Clossel of Midland, sisters Helen Mackeck of Houston, Ruth and Mike McClelland of Richmond, and many loving nieces and nephews. She was preceded in death by her parents, Lester and Ruby Brewer, her husband, Joseph A. Clossel, Jr., sister Beatrice Scott, and sons Mark James and Ronald Keith Clossel. A viewing will precede the chapel ceremony. Funeral services will be 10 a.m. Friday, November 5th at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home, 3800 North Big Spring. Interment will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Cemetery. Sharon Roberts. On Wednesday, October 27th, Sharon Anita Roberts, a loving wife, mother, grandmother, and friend, passed away at the age of 74. Sharon was born in Wynwood, Oklahoma, on July 25th, 1947. She is preceded in death by her parents, Marvin Kent Gillespie, Anita Olivia Gillespie, and grandson Jacob Roberts. She is survived by her loving husband Clifford Duane Roberts of 36 years, daughter Annelle Lane Gregory Callender of Odessa, son Josh Adria Gregory of Odessa, stepdaughter Deidre Navarez of Luling, stepson Brad Ruthie Roberts of Midland, 10 grandkids and 5 great-grandkids. Visitation will be held Wednesday, November 3rd from 8 to 10 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home. Fond memories and expressions of sympathy may be shared at www.ellisfunerals.com. Death notices. George Reyes. George Reyes, 78, passed away on September 22nd in Midland at Focused Care. He was born on May 25th, 1943. There are no services scheduled. Arrangements entrusted to the care of American Heritage Cemetery. Paul Lawson. Paul Lawson, 68, passed away in Midland at Focused Care. He was born February 12, 1953, in Colorado City. There are no services scheduled. Arrangements are entrusted to the care of American Heritage Cemetery. Rosario Romero. Rosario Romero, age 58, of Midland, went to be with the Lord Sunday, October 31st. Visitation will be Thursday, November 4th, at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home, 1502 North La Mesa Road, from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m., with a rosary to be recited at 7 p.m. Funeral service will be Friday, November 5th, at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home Chapel at 1 p.m. Interment will immediately follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Rosario is survived by two daughters, Jessica Romero and Vanessa Romero of Midland, her mother Porfiria Vejar of Midland, two sisters, three brothers, 11 grandchildren, and one great-grandchild. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be received at www.asanchezTFH.com.
This is Connie reading the Odessa American for November 3rd, 2021. Midland Festival Ballet announces 2021-22 season by Michael Bauer. Midland. After having to perform last year's The Nutcracker on video due to pandemic restrictions, the Midland Festival Ballet will make its return to the stage with this year's performance. The Midland Festival Ballet recently announced its schedule for the 2021-2022 season. This year's performance of The Nutcracker will be performed at 7:30 p.m. December 18th and 2:30 p.m. December 19th at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. I'm really excited that we'll be back performing our season live at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, Midland Festival Ballet Executive Director Rachel Ritter said. We've dubbed our Nutcracker as the return to stage with our live orchestra. Last year, the Midland Festival Ballet's production of the Nutcracker was only on the big screen and Basin PBS, as COVID restrictions didn't allow for live performances. Midland Festival Ballet Communications Director Pearl Wamsley said it was very emotional. I knew it would be very meaningful. You realize how much you miss that immediate feedback of audiences applauding. You miss that energy. You love getting that instant feedback. While the movie was fun, it wasn't the same, and you have to wait a while to see the end result. Unless they decide to contact you, you don't know what people are thinking. It's just different. Performing to live music is something we've missed. Even if we hear the Nutcracker every year, being able to hear it live with the orchestra is so much better than on tape. We're excited to have that back again. Being at the Wagner is special. The Midland Festival Ballet's spring production will be the world premiere of Aladdin and the Magic Carpet. The production will take place at 7:30 p.m. April 16th. West Texans will be the first to see the characters and story they know and love told in a whole new way, with a mesmerizing explosion of movement, light, and color paired with the live orchestral accompaniments. With Aladdin, I'm really thrilled because it'll be a world premiere, Ritter said. We've never done that before. We've always had choreographers come in and set ballets on us, but never a brand new work, so that's really exciting. We're really excited for that. The production of Aladdin will be something entirely new for the Midland Festival Ballet that's never been done before, Wamsley said. There's the new dance, moves, choreography, Wamsley said. You have to teach them all new steps, but someone also has to arrange the score for the music to dance too, and imagining costumes and lighting and sets and making plans for all that. Really, whenever it's only in your head and you've never done it before, the reality is always a lot more challenging than trying to recreate something that hasn't been done before. Finding out what's possible and not possible has been a challenge, but it's also fun. This season is supported in part by Arts Council of Midland, Odessa Arts, Texas Commission on the Arts, and the Bryant Family Foundation. This project is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts. Midland Festival Ballet is a nonprofit local ballet school with a pre-professional ballet company committed to bringing the beauty of ballet to the basin through education, performance, and outreach. More information can be found by calling 432-682-2653. I think it's really emotional for all the dancers to be back performing on stage, Ritter said. They were such troopers last year, but there's really something special about the cast and crew and volunteers and all the artists coming together to make a production live in person. I think everyone is excited to have that happen again this year. MCH COVID numbers. Medical Center Hospital has released its COVID inpatient numbers as of 9 a.m. Tuesday. 26 total COVID patients in-house. Medical surgery, non-critical, 13 COVID patients. Vaccinated, 3 vaccinated, 2 unknown. 1 on pediatrics. Critical care, 13 COVID patients, 11 on ventilators. 12 unvaccinated, 1 vaccinated. Of the 11 COVID patients on ventilators, 1 are vaccinated, 10 are unvaccinated. Age ranges of COVID patients, 13 years old to 93 years old. Patients from outside Ector County include 1 from Crane, 2 from Fort Stockton, 1 from Pecos, 1 from Toya. Quick hits. Legislative luncheon set. The Odessa Chamber of Commerce will host a legislative update luncheon featuring State Senator Kel Seliger, Republican Amarillo, and Republican Brooks Landgraf, Republican Odessa, at 11:30 a.m. November 16th at the Odessa Country Club, 1 Fairway Drive. Art Tales. The Ellen Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, has scheduled Dancing Through Field of Color by Elizabeth Brown for ages 3 to 5 and their grown-ups from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. today in the Art House during inclement weather. Also scheduled later is a film documentary, Art Therapy Has Many Faces, 51 minutes at 6:30 p.m. today. A discussion will follow Admission is free. Janet's Planet. Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788, Midland, has scheduled Janet's Planet, a live stage production at 7:30 p.m. today. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. The production is geared to 7 to 12-year-olds and focuses on science, space, history, and health. For tickets and information, visit wagnernoel.com. Revival. Central Baptist Church, 1401 North Texas Avenue, has scheduled a revival led by Rick Holman from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. today through Sunday and from 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 Sunday. For more information, call 432-337-6417. Veterans Job Fair. The Permian Basin Workforce Development Board has scheduled a Veterans Job Fair as a part of a statewide initiative, Hiring Red, White, and You. The event will take place in person and virtually for the 17 counties in the Permian Basin area from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Thursday at the MCM Elegante Hotel, 5200 East University Boulevard. Featuring more than 40 local companies, the industries represented include construction, education, food service, healthcare, manufacturing, oil and gas, public sector, transportation, and warehousing. Permian Basin Workforce Solutions staff will be available to help attendees access resources and apply for jobs. Mary Marketplace. The Junior League of Odessa will present Merry and Bright, the 38th annual Merry Marketplace, Thursday through Sunday at the Ector County Coliseum, 4201 Andrews Highway. Preview party starts at 6 p.m. Thursday. Preview party individual tickets is $75. Ladies luncheon and fashion show will start at 9 a.m. Friday. Luncheon and fashion show individual tickets is $75. Marketplace hours are from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Friday through Sunday. General admission is $10 and stroller is $10. HEB Feast of Sharing. HEB Feast of Sharing has been scheduled from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Friday at Midland County Horseshoe Pavilion, 2514 Arena Trail, Midland. Bingo Night Fundraiser. Adem Vita Private School has scheduled a Bingo Night fundraiser from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Friday at the Premier Ballroom, 6482 West University Boulevard. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. There will be food, live music, drinks, and prizes. Sponsorship packages available for businesses and large parties. Pre-sale bingo books may be purchased from an Avito student or call 432-305-9566. Ticket and books will also be available at the door. Fall Festival. Inner City Tabernacle of Life Ministries, 3607 North Dixie Boulevard, has scheduled a fall revival with guest revivalist Apostle David Love of Kansas City, Missouri at 7:30 p.m. Friday, at 12:30 p.m., and 7:30 p.m. Saturday, and at noon Sunday. Conciertos. The Hacienda Event Center, 12610 Texas 191 Frontage Road, Midland, has scheduled the following events. Friday, Christina Castro Hitz Tour. November 12th, Signo Joe Lopez and Grupo Mas. November 5th, Baruco. Single Moms Conference. Stonegate Fellowship Church, 4240 Preston Smith Road, has scheduled a single mom's conference from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday. This is a one-day event of fun and encouragement designed specifically for women raising children alone. Child care is available for children ages 6 weeks to 12 years old. Pre-registration is required. Lunch will be provided for attending mothers and children. To pre-register or for more information, call 432-694-5100. Christmas Village Market. A Christmas Village Market has been scheduled from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday at the Midland County Horseshoe Arena, 2514 Arena Trails, Midland. Thank a Hero Event. Thank a Hero Event will take place from noon to 4 p.m. Saturday at Music City Mall, Dillard's Courtyard, 4101 East 42nd Street. Sign a thank you card, donate comfort items, t-shirts, underwear, socks, to a veteran in the Big Springs VA Hospital. Items will be delivered before Veterans Day. PAC 58 Carnival. Club Scout PAC 58 has scheduled a carnival fundraiser from noon to 6 p.m. Saturday at Redeemer Lutheran Church, 824 East 18th Street. Brisket plates will be available for purchase from noon till sold out. There will be games, gift cards, silent auction, cupcake walk, and a variety of vendors. Pricing is $20. Includes brisket plate, water, tea, dessert, plus 10 tickets for the games. Each extra ticket is $1. Each game booth and the cakewalk will be one ticket. Vendors and donations are welcome. Vendors must register in advance. For more information, call 432-934-2724. Concert. The Ector Theater, 500 North Texas Avenue, will present Cory Morrow live Saturday. Doors open at 6 p.m. Opener starts at 7 p.m. Concierto de Amor. The Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale has scheduled Concierto de Amor at 7:30 p.m. Saturday at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM, 1788 Midland. This evening will feature Barbara Padillo from America's Got Talent. Tickets start at $11 and students $8. Call 800-514-3849. Odessa Shakespeare Festival Returns by OA News at OAOA.com. The Odessa Shakespeare Festival returns to the Globe Theater at Odessa College November 19th and 20th after being delayed due to COVID. The Texas Shakespeare Festival Roadshow will present Twelfth Night at 7 p.m. November 19th and As You Like It at 7 p.m. November 20th. Tickets are $10 for adults and $5 for students and educators. Unveiling Tool for Schools for Success Center by OA News at OAOA.com. The Education Foundation of Odessa, in partnership with the AVID program in Ector County ISD, we'll unveil the new tools for Success Center at Crockett Middle School. A special unveiling of this center is scheduled for 1:45 p.m. Wednesday at Crockett Middle School, 2301 North Conover Avenue. Also at this time, a special check will be presented in support of the program from the Foundation's partners at Walmart. The Educational Foundation of Odessa is a 501 nonprofit, tax-exempt, philanthropic organization of citizens who share a vision of enhancing education in ECISD. The Education Foundation of Odessa provides a new and innovative source of funding to support the school district's educational plan. It does not attempt to replace lost state funding, nor does it attempt to take the place of the district's operating budget, a news release said. When considering the level of funding required to educate students, the foundation can expect only to provide funds for those projects and activities that go beyond the normal classroom experience. Such initiatives provide enrichment, research opportunities, teacher training, intervention and prevention strategies, and extend the educational effort. Draft Recovery Plan Available by OA News at OAOA.com. Austin. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is announcing the availability of a draft recovery plan for three endangered aquatic invertebrates that live in a small, isolated desert spring system and signage in Chihuahua Desert of West Texas. The draft recovery plan is based on a species status assessment report completed in 2020. The Diamond Trionia, Gonzales Trionia, and Pecus amphipod, collectively referred to as the Diamond Y invertebrates, can be found in the Diamond Y spring system in Pecos County. The most important factors that may affect the continued survival of the Diamond Y invertebrates are primarily related to groundwater pumping, which has impacted desert springs across the region. The overall recovery strategy for the Diamond Y invertebrates involves preserving, restoring, and managing their aquatic habitat, along with the water resources necessary to support resilient populations of these species and the ecosystem on which they depend. The Diamond Y spring system is one of the largest synages remaining in West Texas, said Adam Serener, the service's Austin Ecological Service Field Office Supervisor. Efforts to support perennial spring flow won't just help with the recovery of the Diamond Y invertebrates. They will also help protect a variety of other fish and wildlife species that rely on this important aquatic ecosystem. In addition to the three Diamond Y invertebrates, the Nature Conservatory's Diamond Y Spring Preserve provides important habitat for four other federally endangered or threatened species, including the Leon Springs pufffish, Pecos gambusia, Pecos sunflower, and Pecos acimenia. Recovery plans are roadmaps to guide the recovery process and measure progress toward recovery. Recommendations provided in this plan are based on resolving threats to the Diamond Y invertebrates and ensuring self-sustaining populations in the wild. The draft recovery plan for the Diamond Y invertebrates was developed in partnership with species experts to provide a vision, strategy, and the criteria to recover the species, along with recovery actions and estimates of the time and cost needed to reach recovery. Launch Party by OA News at OAOA.com. The WTX Manifest Launch Party will start at 7 p.m. on November 12th for the general public at Dos Amigos. They will have a VIP guest reception that starts earlier at 5:15 p.m. Mayors from the surrounding area, city officials, heads of nonprofit, and business owners are expected to attend the reception. During the reception, information about the upcoming festival will be shared, and a special video will be released later that evening to the public promoting their music festival in 2022. Obituaries: Sammy Ed Holloman, Seguin. Sammy Ed Holloman, age 91, of Seguin, Texas, passed away on Sunday, October 31, 2021. Sammy was born on January 12, 1930, in Borger, Texas, to John Marion and Twiley Denise Milligan Holloman. Sammy is preceded in death by his parents, his sister Mary Crone, and his first wife, Dottie Holloman. Survivors include his wife, Tammy Jo Holloman, daughters, Tasha Sawarski Cook, and husband, Richard and Twiley Young, and husband, Mike. Stepsons, William Johnson and Benjamin Johnson. Six grandsons, one granddaughter, 16 great-grandchildren, cousin Joe Bannister, and two nephews, as well as numerous other loving family members and many friends. Visitation will begin at 9:30 a.m. on Thursday, November 4th at St. James Catholic Church, followed by the recitation of the Holy Rosary at 10 a.m., followed by the Mass of Christian Burial at 10:30 a.m. Interment will follow in St. Clair Catholic Cemetery in Seguin. Memorial contributions may be made to the Parkinson's Foundation, Post Office Box 61420, Staten Island, New York 10306, or St. James Catholic Church, 510 South Camp Street, Seguin, Texas. You are invited to sign the guest book at www.tresswells.com. John Douglas Doug Miller, Odessa. John Douglas Miller went home to be with his Savior on October 29th in Odessa. Funeral service and burial will be held November 5th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Doug was born January 11, 1952 in Amarillo, Texas, the youngest of four children born to Joe Jed Miller and Joyce Carr Miller. He is survived by his two older sisters, Jennifer Cochran of Odessa and Bonnie Baker, and husband Alan of Keller. A sister-in-law, Debbie Miller, Tyson of Midland, and many great-nieces and great-nephews and cousins, along with many lifelong friends. Doug is preceded in death by his parents, Jed and Joyce Miller, and an older brother, Joe Jed Miller, Jr. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. Death notices. Vicki Schultz Alvarado, Odessa. Vicki Schultz Alvarado, 62, of Odessa, died Friday, October 29th in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for 2 p.m. Friday, November 5th at Vine Baptist Church, 2200 West 22nd Street, Odessa. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Polly L. Braswell, Owosso, Oklahoma. Polly L. Braswell, 86, of Owosso, died Tuesday, October 26th in Owosso, Oklahoma. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. on Thursday, November 4th at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. The family will receive friends from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Thursday at the funeral home. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. Jimmy Jimenez, Jr., Odessa. Jimmy Jimenez Jr., 79, of Odessa, died Saturday, October 30th in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Paul Lawson, Midland. Paul Lawson, 68, of Midland, died Tuesday, October 12th in Midland. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage Funeral Home of Midland. Nancy Rubio Olivas, Odessa. Nancy Rubio Olivas, 43, died Monday, November 1st in Odessa. Services are pending with Martin Funeral Home of Odessa. George Reyes, Midland. George Reyes, 78, of Midland, died Wednesday, September 22nd in Midland. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage Funeral Home of Odessa. Mary Lee Russell, Odessa. Mary Lee Russell, 68, of Odessa, died Monday, October 25th in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Saturday, November 6th at River of Hope, 3601 North Dixie Boulevard in Odessa. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Melvin Aaron Segoy, Odessa. Melvin Aaron Segoy, 20, of Odessa, Texas, died Friday, October 22nd in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 10 a.m. November 5th at Ector County Cemetery, Rose Hill Section. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.